RadioInfluence.com.
That I never thought in a million years would happen.
The champion, the challenger, here we go!
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome to the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, I am Jason Floyd of the MMAReport.com, and come up here on this edition of the interview edition of the MMA Report podcast. You're going to hear from four fighters who I spoke to over the past week or so. You're going to hear from two fighters who got a win just over a week ago in Las Vegas, Kevin Kroom and Jalen Turner. Of course, Kevin Kroom stepping up on short notice to make his UFC debut, accepting a fight during fight week. Gets a win that, not a lot of people expected. Massive underdog in that one. Also, you're going to hear from Jalen Turner, who stepped up on short notice to get a win. Of course, was supposed to take on Thiago Moses, but ultimately gets a short notice fight and gets the victory. Also, you're going to hear from two fighters who are slated to fight on the October 3rd UFC Fight Night card over in Fight Island, Casey Kinney and Kyler Phillips. But up first, let's hear my conversation with Kevin Kroom. Had a chance to talk to him about his big win in his UFC debut. And if you have not seen the video portion of this interview, well, the video was done while Kevin was getting a haircut. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who, well, he's getting a haircut right now, but I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me, Kevin Kroom, who last week, obviously, top weeks of your life, obviously, to finally get what you've been chasing. And obviously, I know you talked about kind of it all happened just so quick, from getting the fight to getting to Vegas and everything. Like, what sticks out to you about those couple days in Vegas?
I mean, all of it, making all the money, that sticks out. Man, I mean, the whole thing was just cool. I've obviously dreamed of doing this my entire life, 13 years now, so having the walkout, just being able to go out there and enjoy the walkout, man, c'est magnifique. It was great.
Obviously, and you mentioned what James Krause has said to you at the beginning of all this quarantine life of like, look, there's going to be opportunities, just got to be in the gym, stay ready. And I know when I talked to James at the beginning of this, James said to me, he goes, look, this is about taking advantage of what, these opportunities you can take that are going to come your way and time to level up. What was your mindset through all of this of like, I'm just waiting for the call. I'm just going to keep grinding here in the gym and just wait and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly, I had my last fight a few weeks ago and, man, I just have been in the gym training constantly since then and just trying to get better, perfecting everything. And, I've had a few ups and downs. I thought that I was going to be, fighting like actually the last 3 weeks in a row, I've had something come up where, hey, can you make weight? Can you get on a plane? Yes. And then it fall through. So I just knew that, man, just stay ready. It's about to happen. All my dreams are about to come true.
Anyone that follows the regional scene, they know your name. You've been around this game for a long time. When you went through the rough patch there, in the past couple of years, what was kind of your mindset in that 2016 2017 area of kind of where you were at?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, man, I was coming off some hard losses. It was really bad. I came to Kansas City. I relocated from Albuquerque to Kansas City. I got with James Krause and really changed my life around, changed everything. I mean, it took me a couple of years to kind of get on the right path again. But, man, I'm going to listen to everything James says till the day I die.
What was the biggest thing he said to you that like really stuck out to you when you joined Glory?
I mean, everything, man, the man preaches. The man, the MMA is my religion and that man's my preacher. I listen to everything he says. I watch everything he does, man. That's the best thing about it is I see him in the gym. I see him doing exactly what he's preaching, so it's easy to trust him,
What, when you first joined Glory, was there something James said to you that was like hard to hear him say about you, but you're like, you know what? He's right.
I mean, I don't know about that, but he fucking beat me up. He beat the shit out of me my first day in the gym. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I've known James forever. Like, we've known each other since amateur days. So, like, we've trained together plenty. But as soon as, like, I was a member of his gym, he fucked me up the first day. Like, I'll never forget getting done with our round and looking up. And Megan Anderson, who I didn't know at the time, just looks at me and she goes, "Are you okay?" Like, genuinely concerned for me. It was so embarrassing. Obviously, she's a pretty girl. She just watched me get beat up and then, like, genuinely, like, not even trying to be mean, was making sure I was all right. You know. Yeah, so that happened. James let me know, like, "Hey, man, this is my spot. Like, you've been around for a while, but I got the moves," you know.
And you know, you mentioned about the fight did not go any way you thought. I mean, you didn't think it was going to happen the way it happened. How did you visualize the fight going down this past Saturday?
I mean, honestly, I didn't really visualize it at all. I didn't have any time, you know. Like, I mean, I've been training for 13 years. I was just going out there to fight. We figured it would be a really rough first round. That kid's really good, and I know that. He's long. And he's got a really straight, good jab. I mean, good shots. He's got like a no wind-up two that's really quick. I mean, he's really good. And so, I mean, I figured we'd go out there and I'd have to put him on the cage and kind of negate his length. And, man, I didn't have to do any of that. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, when you talk about his length, I would have thought that he couldn't get the cage. It was about, let me just try to make this a dirty fight, close range, clinch type fight. Let's not allow him to fight at range. Was that pretty much the essential part if you couldn't get to the cage?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to rush anything. I mean, I wasn't scared to strike with him. I mean, I trust my skills, but we figured that I had the bigger advantage once it got close. In the clinch, I'm really good at grinding people out, putting you on the cage, getting you down, you know. So, I mean, that was kind of what we thought was going to happen. But, like, I mean, I've been doing this for so long. I'm going to take what you give me, you know.
I saw your tweet. I want to say you sent it out Saturday night. Maybe it was before the fight, where you said, "I had $65 in my bank account before I took this fight," and not knowing how I was going to get through the weekend.
Yeah, on Wednesday I had $64. I was trying to figure out, like, you know, I mean, I was gonna work. I was gonna get some jobs or something to work so I could make some money, you know. And I don't have to.
Would you just basically describe that last couple, those, you know, Wednesday through Saturday, is basically a life changing moment for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's two totally different worlds. You know, all my problems now. All my problems were money related, you know what I mean? Like, and not serious money, just bullshit money, you know? So, yeah, I mean, everything's different. I remember James talking about his debut when he fought Sam Stout, you know, pretty close circumstances. He fought Sam Stout on 2 weeks' notice, I think. Came out, got a submission of the night and a fight of the night victory. You know, got a huge bonus, changed his life. And I remember him saying, like, that fight catapulted his confidence in fighting and out of the world, or in real life, you know. And I can feel that that's happened, you know. Like, there's obviously no more doubt in my mind. If there was any, you know, like, I don't know. I've just, everything's about to get better, man. I'm just getting started.
In terms of, obviously, the great payday that you got here with a performance bonus and all that, is it about, okay, you know what, I gotta put some money away because I gotta pay the tax man at some point. He's gonna come call for looking for that money. But is it also about just investing in yourself, investing in your abilities and things along those lines?
Well, man, I'm trying to buy a really fancy pair of nunchucks. You know what I mean? So that costs money. You know, I'm also looking to get Edward Scissorhand gloves. So once again, that's money, you know. So I'd be good thing there. Yeah, man, for sure. I've been investing myself for years, so it's nice to finally have a payoff, you know.
In terms of a timeline for your next fight, is there any thoughts on when you want that to be?
I mean, I'll fight next week. I can make weight right now. I can make weight now. I can make 45 in a couple hours. Like, no problem, you know. I can make 55 now for sure, you know. So whenever, obviously, I'm in a good position, I don't have to take fight that I don't want, you know. I mean, I have the money in the bank, and, you know, I feel like the company's pretty happy with me. They'll probably give me a decent fight after this. But, I mean, if the right fight pops up, I'll take it on 12 hours notice. I got no problems.
Is there someone in that UFC 155-pound roster that, you know, or 45-pound roster, I mean, that interests you?
I'm done at 55. I mean, I would take another 55 fight, but I'm good. Like, I'm going down to 45 and then 35. I mean, I plan on fighting bantamweight. So, okay. I mean, I'm trying to get wins in three-weight classes for sure.
Is it just more about, like, look, if there's an opportunity at 55, cool. If I like the matchup, I'll take it. But ideally, yeah. 45, 35 is where you really want to be?
Yeah, most definitely, for sure. I'm like, right now, I'm like 158.
Okay.
So, you know, like, that's not – like, I weighed in before the fight with my clothes on at 156. So, like, maybe I made weight for, like, during my fight, you know, like.
And, of course, we look forward to seeing when the next fight could take place. Kevin, man, I appreciate your time. Congratulations on the win last weekend. Of course, let me know the fight on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Oh, man, I just really appreciate you giving me your time. Hit me up on Instagram or Twitter, KevinKroom_MMA. And, man, thank you guys for sure.
And there was my conversation with Kevin Kroom. Appreciate him taking some time out to talk to me about his win in his UFC debut. And, you know, very interesting kind of hear him talk about how he credits everything to James Krause for this turnaround in his career, moving to Missouri, Lee's Hump, Missouri, where Glory MMA and Fitness is located. And as you heard him say there, he says, MMA is my religion and James Krause is my preacher. Also, great story he told there about talking about his first day at Glory as James Krause is beating him up and Megan Anderson comes up to him and says, hey, are you okay? Yeah, that's probably not a very good feeling there. So I appreciate Kevin taking some time out to talk to me. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Jalen Turner, which has been a roller coaster of a couple weeks for Jalen Turner. Was supposed to take on Tiago Moses, but does not get that fight because of Tiago's issues with testing positive for COVID, but gets a short notice fight, and so I had a chance to catch up with him and talk to him his win about a week ago in Las Vegas. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's coming off a win this past weekend at UFC Vegas 10, Jalen Turner. Jalen, appreciate the time. Before we kind of get into it, the last 2 weeks, obviously it's been a roller coaster up and down. Like, how would you describe just kind of what has happened for you in the last 2 weeks?
Scheduled to fight, end up having the fight, literally fall out the day of the fight, and then, you know, hanging out, getting over it, pigging out, eating, and then having to cut weight again after getting another short notice fight. Man, it's been a roller coaster, but it's been a blessing. So I'm not complaining whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, so who's a poor person that had to come to you on fight day and say, I got bad news?
Manager Jason House, man, he texted me actually. He said, "Oh, we got to talk," and I was like, "All right." As soon as he sent that message, I was like, "I already knew." Like, we're just getting ready to like walk down and go get our fight kit bags, and I just like open up the hotel door and like I'm in my underwear, just like what happened? Like he's like, "Fight's off." I was like, "No." I was just like, you know, I honestly, like I was telling my coach the night before. I said it felt like it was too good to be true because I really felt like it was just a great opportunity for me to just, you know, showcase that I can beat Tiago and, you know, I'm not worried about his jiu-jitsu. You know, everything just felt like it just was too good of a lead up, you know, like never had a fight feel like that. Never, ever, like nothing ever like lined up that perfectly. But even though that fell out, you know, I ended up getting Brock, which was like still a good opportunity because I watched Brock a lot when I was fighting, when I got ready to fight Max Mustaki, because I watched their fight plenty of times. So I already knew about him. Like, same thing with Tiago. Like, I've been watching him since he was in LFA or RFA because I wanted to fight him. So, you know, just that whole mental battle was like I was already ahead on the scoreboards.
Did you go back to California or did you stay in Vegas the whole time after the Tiago fight fell off?
I stayed in Vegas that night. You know, I was just trying to hear back to see what was going to happen, if they're like going to like schedule me again. And but I ended up leaving the next day. You know, I had to go home and see my kids, man. I just can't stay away from them too long. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, in our world right now, especially with the UFC being in Vegas, it's like if you're a Nevada-based fighter, California-based fighter, anyone in that kind of area, it's like you just got to be ready to go at every moment. Was that kind of even the mentality after you get back home? You're like, man, you know what? I could get the call on Wednesday, which it does happen, and then all of a sudden I'm back into a fight.
Yeah, like Jason was telling me, just, you know, just kind of like stay ready. Like don't blow up and wait, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And I was like, man, I was already 182. I was like, man, it's hard for me to keep this weight off. You know, it's hard for me to go have some food. But yeah, he told me even before the fights, he was like, maybe around like May, he was like, you know, just stay ready. Like, if they're gonna start pushing these fights out, stay ready. So I've been ready since then. I kicked it in the high gear. I've been in camp for months. I didn't know what not being in the camp was at that point, you know. So I was like, oh, another week, short notice, let's do it.
Since you got to experience fight week 2 weeks in a row of what fight week is now with this, you know, the quarantine aspect of it and everything you got to do with the protocols, did you alter anything in the second week because of your experience from the first week?
Yeah, I took my tarantula on the scale with me the second week.
We saw that, yeah.
I was going to do it the first week, but I didn't know how the setup was because of, you know, all the COVID stuff, the changes, and there were, you know, no ceremonial weigh-ins. So I was like, dang, like, it was just like the energy was off for me, like the setup was off for me. So I didn't do it. I ended up not doing it. This time I was like, no, I got the opportunity. Like, let's do it. So that was the biggest change. And then also, going out like so late in the week for me was like way better because I spent so much time with my family and my kids, you know, and I was just like, got back on track with training. You know, I was already in shape, so it was just like, it was so much easier like mentally for me, you know, just to like make it feel like it was like another, you know, like another training session.
You know, and obviously go out there, have a tremendous performance against Brock Weaver. You know, I know you've kind of talked about, you know, being denied the walk-off knockout, but you get the submission win there. As you assess your performance, I mean, because I think obviously in the heat of the moment, there's things that go through your mind, but then when you go back and you watch the tape, maybe there's something else that sticks out of your mind. Is there anything after you went back and watched the fight that stuck out to you?
Nothing too much. The number one thing I just wish I would have did more of was kick, but I ended up having my leg compromised in the fight. My right leg was kind of like a hip flexor. I don't know if he kicked me or hit me. I've been trying to like figure out what happened, but my hip flexor was like just super tight, and I just couldn't throw any kicks. I threw my right one twice. I threw my left one once in the first round, but I just couldn't keep that consistency because like my leg was so compromised.
You know, but now is that in, you know, that you mentioned about the ties you have, is that going to kind of keep you out of training for a while, or are you right back into it already?
No, I haven't trained yet. Probably get it checked out here pretty soon, see what's going on. And my knee's been a little sore, a little stiff, but you know, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be anything that's going to keep me on the sidelines for too long. So like, I'm trying to get back into the gym as soon as possible.
I mean, I know you mentioned about you'd love to get that Thiago fight rebooked. Is your hopes that maybe that gets rebooked, say, you know, November, December, when the UFC comes back to Vegas?
Yeah, if they want to do that, I'm all for it. If they got better plans for me, I'm all for it. You know, I'm ready to just start making my name blow up a little bit more. So whatever they want to do, whoever they want to give me, I'll be ready.
I mean, you mentioned about Thiago is a guy if you want to fight for a long time. And I think even going into that fight, the general thought was, well, you know, what happens if the fight goes to the ground? Was it more about for you proving the naysayers wrong?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like that was like my perfect opportunity to show my takedown defense has improved, my jiu-jitsu has improved. You know, I've just rounded out so much of my game, and you know, like I'm not how would I say this? I'm not afraid of his I'm not going to disrespect his jiu-jitsu or anything. I'm going to respect it. But, you know, even that being said, like, I wasn't afraid to go to the ground with him. Like, even Brock tried to, like, drop him a heel hook with me. Like, me and my coach just laughed. Like, we laughed that one off, like, in the corner. So, yeah, it'd be a good fight for me. It'd be a really good fight for me.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, okay, go watch your cartoons.
You know, but if it's... do you feel that just people just underestimate what you can do on the ground?
No, I don't feel like they underestimate it. I feel like I haven't displayed it to the best of my ability. You know, like, even when I fought Fervola, I had a knee injury, and all he had to do was just cut a corner on the takedown, and he would take me down, especially on my right side, because that's like the knee that was compromised. But you know, I've fixed all that. Like, I'm just ready to show everybody. Like, even my offense, like holding people against the cage has been great for me. My Greco's felt great. My jiu-jitsu is just getting better. Like, I'm just evolving as a complete martial artist, you know, and I'm getting so much more comfortable in the octagon. And even with that being said, like, I'm getting better as a striker because I'm more comfortable, like, getting up off my back or, you know, being on the ground. So, like, I even showed in the Brock fight, like, I was so comfortable in the exchanges because I wasn't worried about him taking me down. Like, every takedown he shot besides that last one in the first, like, I defended, like, with ease.
You talk about how you evolved. What's the biggest difference you see in yourself as a martial artist right now as opposed to after your fight in February?
I feel like my cardio has gotten a lot better. I feel like my composure has gotten a lot better. And I just feel like my IQ just went through the roof these last few months. I've been just learning patience, like, not fighting back to back to back. I used to fight like 3-4 times a year. Like, that's like regular for me. And now it's just like, you know, I get to slow things down, analyze a little bit better, and take everything at my pace. Honestly, that's probably something I really learned, is just fighting at my own pace and dictating the pace a little bit better and being able to endure somebody trying to switch it up on me and stay in control of how the fight goes.
You know, one of the things of talking to various fighters, and they've kind of talked about how they've grown as a martial artist during this time of, you know, it's not, you know, may not have a fight, you know, every, you know, 3 months, you know, maybe there's been, you know, for various reasons, but they'll talk about how it allowed them to really just sit back and just, whether it was watching their own fights, watching other fighters fight, to kind of evaluate and make themselves a better fighter. Is that something you did, of like, just kind of, it just allowed you more time for a self-evaluation of yourself?
You know, I feel like it really did. As far as watching my fights to do that, I always watch my fights after every fight I have. I always try to, like, go watch details and analyze myself, just, you know, see what the competition's looking at, you know, see where I could prove, see my habits or what I can fix. I just felt like it gave me a whole another mental battle to get over. You know, like, last year I had my injury, and I was on the sidelines for, you know, like 8 months. So that was really difficult for me in its own, getting over that mental hurdle, because, like I said, like, I like to fight like 3-4 times a year. And not being able to do that was like, wow, like, I had to sit back, analyze, like, what life's like for me. And it was just so much of a mental battle. And that, it just made my mindset really, really strong. So, like, even with this fight, like, you know, taking the fight short notice, like, mentally, I was just, like, ready. Like, let's go. Mentally, I've been telling myself, whoever they put in front of you, you're ready. And mentally, I've been just working out my mind. And that's been the biggest game changer, you know, having my mind just be on another level. Like, physically, you know, you can do that all day. You know, you can work out, you can be the best version of yourself, but if you're a mental midget, it's not going to ever matter.
In terms of the celebration, now that you get to kind of enjoy the food you want to enjoy, what's on the go-to meal list?
Man, I'm going to the Forum Blues Cafe today because they owe me some free waffles. They told me I could win free waffles for a lifetime if I won that last fight, and I did. So now whenever I go there, I can get free waffles. I'm going to Boiling Crab tomorrow, so Boiling Crab is on the bucket list. There's another food place that just opened up out here in Fontana that I'm going to check out called Touch of Soul. I'm going to check that out. And I think that's pretty much it. After that, I'm just like, you know, just coast off. It's funny because I think since I cut to 165, I haven't been craving too much food. And then, like, you know, the week before, I was already like, I got my binge out a little bit. So, you know, I'm not really craving too much. I just want to go see some people that like asked me to stop by and, you know, try their food.
Would 65 be an ideal weight class for you?
Oh man, I'd be perfect, dude. I'd be the biggest blessing if they ever do that. I'd be there all day. I would fight as much as I could because the weight cut wouldn't kill me. Like the last, honestly, even if it was 160, as soon as I hit 160, I got to drop that last 5 pounds. That's like where it gets hard for me. Yeah. Like anything before that, like I'm it's smooth sailing. Like I'm good to go like all day. Feel healthy. But as soon as I hit that 57, 56, I'm like, that's all right. I got to turn my Super Saiyan on and just thug it out.
Those last couple pounds, everyone says it's the last pound is always the hardest pound.
Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that stick too. Oh man, sheesh.
But of course, congratulations on the victory, Jalen. And as always, man, you know, let everyone know anything for you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Social media, Instagram, The Tarantula MMA, Facebook, Jalen Turner, Twitter, Jalen Turner. Thankful to be in the show. Thankful to be talking to you again, man. You know, I appreciate the time. Sponsors, Ball Wash, Drink Lift True, Always Ready Meals. Got to thank Jason House and Ed Cap, you know, there. Jeremy Lachow, Jacob Praga, you know, just great management team. My coaches, Sean Ruiz, Anthony Gonzalez, been a big help in my corner. Got to shout out my mom, you know, she's always helping me out, looking out for me. You know, everybody that supports me, man, all of the England Empire, 909-951-760. Love you guys.
And that was my conversation with Jalen Turner. I appreciate him taking some time out to talk to me about his win and this roller coaster of a couple weeks it's been for him. And, you know, really interesting guy to hear him talk about how he does want that matchup against Thiago Moses and mentioning that it's a fight that he's wanted since both of them were on the regional scene back in RFA. So we'll see maybe if the UFC does elect to rebook that fight between Thiago Moses and Jalen Turner. Now, coming up next, you're going to hear from a man that's going to be a part of Fight Island coming up on October the 3rd. That is Casey Kinney, the now bantamweight, one-time flyweight now at bantamweight. So I had a chance to catch up with the Arizona-trained fighter about his matchup coming up here in 2 weeks on Fight Island. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to make his way to Fight Island, Casey Kinney. Casey, appreciate the time, and it's been a little bit of time since your last fight, you know, back at the end of May, man. So what's been going on in the fight world for you, man?
You know, just really been training, kind of staying ready, you know, most of the summer. You know, I had the short notice one at the end of May. You know, took a little time, enjoyed the summer, and then I knew that I was going to fight anywhere from like August to October. So, you know, I've been pretty much, I was ready for about in August, you know, jump into camp. But then, you know, then I got booked for this one. So just been at a steady pace training, you know, not trying to overdo it. And you know how I do things. I like to stay ready.
Yeah, I saw you had a picture on Instagram the other day where I think the caption was just hashtag bantamweight.
Yes. Yep. You know, staying big, felt like I was feeling myself that day. Thought I was, you know, felt like I've grown into this bantamweight weight class, and had to snap a picture. It's been a while since I posted.
So, are we talking about the days of 125? Is that door completely shut?
I mean, right now, yes. You know, I've got my weight up to where, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, a good size bantamweight, maybe not, you know, the biggest, but getting back down to flyweight would definitely be a task. You know, I need a little bit of time to do that, but you know, I won't cut it out completely. Things get exciting down the flyweight division. You know, I may have to get back down there.
Of course, you got this bantamweight matchup. You head over to Fight Island, obviously part of that's going to be a nice little flight for you. Is that probably the one thing you're just not looking forward to, being stuck on an airplane that long?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those things, right? If you want to fly it all the way across the world, you got to get on a plane and fly. So I made a trip to Russia in February and December, so kind of as a corner man. So I kind of got a feel for what that flight's like.
In terms of fighting over in Fight Island, did you reach out to anyone in the fight community that has done this already and said, you know, what was it like over there? What was, you know, obviously we talked about, I know, I remember seeing a video from Rob Font where they were just going out for a morning stroll, like at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they were just drenched in sweat, just walking around, not even like getting a workout in. But did you reach out to anybody who made that trip and kind of give yourself an idea of what that week is going to be like?
I kind of just reached out to see if we were allowed to leave, you know, like before or after, like what was the plan? You know, we're right there in Abu Dhabi and Dubai is close by, and I'd like to take a trip after, but you know, the world's in chaos now, so I'll go back at another time. But you know, for the heat, you know, we broke records this year, this summer in Phoenix, so I kind of already know that, you know, we're going to have a couple things that we can do on the, you know, the Fight Island, but we're going to be pretty much locked down, you know, kind of ready for that. And that's pretty much fight week anyways. I feel like fight week's normally a big quarantine, you know, anyways. We get out maybe once a day or something, but most of the time you're hanging out in a hotel room, you know, hurrying up to wait.
You've obviously done one fight in this quarantine life. Will you take any lessons that you learned about that fight week of just kind of like, as you mentioned, you just can't go out and do whatever. Is there anything you'll take from that week and maybe make some adjustments for this fight week coming up?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. The fight week in Vegas was, we were locked down, but you know, we could Uber Eats, we could go and, you know, we could leave the hotel and stuff during the week. We think we were only locked down from like Friday to Saturday. And, this one's going to be a little bit different. So, not a whole lot. Like I said, not a whole lot was different for me fight week. Like I got to do pretty much everything the same, and I kind of liked it. You know, we had our own little workout room and stuff versus, you know, the shared one. So this one's going to be a new experience because, you know, obviously we're not going to be Uber eating to, you know, our hotel on Fight Island. So this should be a new one, man. So not a whole lot that I took from the last one because this one I think is going to be just a little bit different. But it's all the same. You know, you hang out, you wait, you train, you eat. You sleep, and then you get ready to fight somebody.
And of course, a couple of the big things with this one is A, the time change. I believe your fight will still be at the normal, you know, time we have here in the United States. So the week leading up to you leaving, or maybe even that week, will you alter your body clock? Or is the mindset of, like, I know I've talked to some other camps who have said that their mindset was, no, we're staying on U.S. time. We'll just sleep on U.S. time. Have you thought about how you're going to handle that?
Yeah, because I think the card goes from like 3:30 in the morning to 9:30 in the morning, like actual, you know, Abu Dhabi time. So I thought about just staying on the U.S. time, you know. I'm a night owl normally anyways, so, you know, that's going to be right up my alley. But I can sleep whenever, and, you know, the clocks, you know, everyone kind of has their own normal clock. I feel like I bounce around really well. Like, but that's my plan, is to stay on the U.S. time. That way, you know, we get there and I try to adjust to Abu Dhabi time. And then, you know, now I'm fighting at 3 a.m, you know, that just staying on the regular U.S. time. So that is my plan, to stay on, you know, the U.S. time, try to sleep, you know. I got to sleep during the day, black out the curtains or whatever, and, you know, I don't mind being up all night.
You know, obviously the big thing of Fight Island, or one of the big things, is it's the big cage. It's not the small cage that's at the UFC Apex. Like, for what you like to do, does one cage, is there a preference, one cage to the other? Or, like, you know what, in a day, cage, whether it's 5 feet more, 5 feet less, it is what it is.
Yeah, That normally doesn't bother me too much on what it is. You know, obviously I like to use some movement, some in and out stuff, but for the most part, I'm going to be in the center of the cage and not, you know, we're going to be throwing down. And maybe for somebody who moves a little bit more, maybe like a Wonder Boy Thompson type style, you know, I'd like to fight one of those guys in a smaller cage. But my opponent coming up, you know, I feel like we could fight in a, you know, a 10-foot octagon, and that's all we'd need.
We've seen your opponent now two times in the UFC. He's got two decision wins overall. Like, you know, I guess the cliche we always hear is, I like this fight because of what?
I like this fight because he's going to be standing there right in front of me and throwing down. I mean, I, you know, I always like that kind of fight.
In terms of his striking abilities, what, is there something that sticks out above all else?
Yeah, his right hand. You know, I feel like he's got a good right hand. You know, that's been his pretty much his only weapon. You know, he does a couple other things pretty well. You know, uses his distance pretty well, but getting hit with that right hand, I think, is his you know, ticket.
Is it really just your sparring partners there at Rise in the lab, basically, of you circling away from that hand? Has that really been the key thing?
Yeah, you know, as a southpaw, I feel like I've been avoiding that my whole career. You know, if you're getting hit with a bunch of right hands as a southpaw, you're in trouble. So that's something that I'm always aware of. And, you know, I feel like I fought a few guys with a powerful right hand and no, I've learned to avoid it, but yeah, exactly. You know, having guys wrestle me hard, throwing that big right hand, and you know, that pretty much sums up Alatang's game.
In terms of, obviously, you're well aware of what he does well, maybe what he doesn't do well at all. But obviously, it's always about you, of what you're going to do to implement your abilities. Do you think he has fought anyone near your abilities?
No. You know, I know he's got a bunch of fights, but, you know, I think I have way too many tools for him. You know, the last fight, Benoit, you know, kind of exposed a few things, you know, that I think I can capitalize on. And just, a way more well-rounded, smart fighter, you know. Like I said, he's tough. He's gonna take what I give him, but you know, I throw in some tricks there and surprise him. You know, he may not be able to take it.
Any thoughts of staying on Fight Island just in case an opportunity pops up in one of the cards after your fight?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, all these guys are getting quick turnarounds. Awesome for them. You know, I've been screaming that. Well, I guess I haven't been screaming it loud enough, but I've been saying, you know, I'm ready next weekend after all four of my fights. So, maybe I got to scream it a little bit louder this time, you know, put my name in to stay on the island. Like, hey, I'm not leaving.
Obviously, Arizona's not far from Vegas, but was there ever like a thought, like during a UFC fight week of, you know what, let me just roll to Vegas. Let me stay in Vegas for a week and just in case maybe they need a 35er or a 45er on short notice.
Hey, you know, I'm texting my manager all the time. Like, hey, I saw somebody fell out. But normally by the time I see it online, it's a little too late to actually get in there. But, yeah, I mean, I'd be down to fight. You know, I'm always down to fight. Week's notice, 10 days notice. Obviously got a camp for this one. You know, I don't mind too much. But, you know, when opportunities present themselves, you got to capitalize. And, you know, I love to do that.
I joke about on my show during these Vegas cards, I set the number at 1.5 fighters. How many fighters that make it to Vegas on Monday will not make it the fight night on Saturday?
It's a good number, man. There's a high chance that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, especially with, you know, all the COVID stuff now. It was already a good chance that somebody's gonna fall off fight week, and now you got, you know, all the COVID testing, so it's even higher.
Just take the over every week.
Right.
Good chance you're gonna cash every time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like one of my, you know, friends, Trevin Jones, he went from Vegas. He was in Guam, you know, for that reason, just to be ready. And, you know, look what happened to him. So awesome.
I talked to Trevin about, I don't know, a month, 2 months before he made that move, you know, and he was like, man, I'm just staying ready just in case, you know, an opportunity comes. And I saw it on his IG and he's like, going to Vegas. I'm going there just for one reason only. If they need a short notice fighter, I'm going to be in Vegas ready to take a fight. And I'm like, brilliant. Every fighter who's not in the UFC should really consider that if they have the financial resources.
Exactly, man. And, you know, it's right now is the time to, like I said, opportunities present themselves. You got to jump on them.
Of course, your opportunity comes up here in a couple weeks on Fight Island. Casey, as always, appreciate time. Of course, let me know anything fight on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Yeah, of course. Always appreciate your time as well. You can follow me on social media at CKMMA135 on Twitter and Instagram, and then just Casey Kenny on Facebook. Not a whole lot to say. You know, tune in October 3rd. It's going to be a good one.
Great stuff there from Casey Kenny. I appreciate him coming on to talk to me about his fight coming up on October the 3rd. Also slated on that October 3rd card is Kyler Phillips. And I will tell you, about 90% of the time when I connect with a fighter on Skype, I always say, hey, is Fighter X still the opponent? Well, for whatever reason, I just didn't do it with Kyler Phillips. And you're going to hear in this conversation, he tells me, yep, Poet just pulled out this morning. Join me now here on the MMA Report as a man that's going to step back inside the UFC octagon, makes a trip to Fight Island. Kyler Phillips, Kyler, I appreciate the time. Before we get in the fight, I gotta ask you about you're stepping into the podcast world, man. What I saw you've got a YouTube channel where you're putting everything on YouTube. So what made you decide that you wanted to start a podcast?
I don't know. I just linked up with a dude, and I like talking about stuff. Me and my friend Clay Carpenter. He's also an MMA fighter. He just fought an LFA a couple weeks ago, and we just decided to start putting random videos on there. Not just my podcast, but we're doing like videos of training, jiu-jitsu, and just like messing around, stuff like that, and some highlight videos. So I think it's just cooler having a platform to have more video and content out there on YouTube.
Oh, no question. I totally agree with you. I mean, I think it's a great way to kind of for you to show who you are as, you know, I mean, I think everyone knows you, Kyler, as a fighter, but, you know, who is the everyday Kyler? You know, what's, you know, because I always say is like, you're just like any other person out there that goes through the, you know, the day in, day out grind.
Yeah, they see me as Matrix, man, but I mean, they don't see me as Kyler. I got a heart too, you know, I'm not just ruthless all the time. So, I got that out there. So I'm planning on just pushing a lot of content out. I'm going to do podcasts every 2 weeks or every other week.
Awesome. Awesome. Obviously you're heading to Fight Island. We've not seen you since, the beginning of this year. So what's been going on since that fight in February?
A lot has been going on. I had that fight and, had a great time. Fast of the past, reaching out, trying to fight. Soon, I try to fight in June. I try to fight in July, August, September. I'll fight whenever. And this whole Corona thing happened and had a couple of fights fall out. But some matchmaking happened, and then I got this fight for October 3rd in Dubai against Dana Badgare. And he actually, just this morning, I found out I've been preparing for that fight. He, for some reason, he can't come to Dubai. He's from Mongolia, so I mean, whatever, you can be stressed and stuff, but I'm still planning on fighting October 3rd. I told him, get me a fight, whoever, whenever. I don't care if it's next week. I don't care. I'm ready to go.
So they told you who, if you're going to have a replacement opponent on that card?
I'm hoping so. I just told my manager, just get me a fight whenever, any card. It can be next week, it can be October 3rd, but I'm still just planning for October 3rd. So whatever curveballs this game throws at me, I'm going to be prepared, but at the same time, also be smart and be realist, and if stuff's not happening, I got to start making things happen.
In terms of, you talk about, you know, curveballs that have come towards you and everything along those lines, in terms of this curveball of coronavirus and how it's kind of affected training and things along those lines, what was the biggest impact for it for you in terms of, like, did it alter how you could train? Did you have to find out, you know, come up with different ways to kind of get the work in?
I still did the same exact thing. Every day, you know, training with the new partners and stuff like that, getting my jiu-jitsu training in with the best in the world, Tonquinho's, getting awesome training at the MMA lab, training with Hanchi Nico at Two Knuckle Sports, doing my Nikito Kai, continue to further my abilities and confidence, as well as just discipline and having fun. I've been having fun this whole time, and I've been inch by inch every day working towards my next goals. And it just, the roof is just getting higher and higher, and it's just, there is no roof, you know? And from my last fight till now, I'm on a completely different level. And the more time they give me, I'm just going to be more more precise and having more fun. But at the end of the day, like, I need to get this fight, so hopefully I can get something soon. And, you know, then we can start focusing from there.
What's the biggest difference we'll notice when we see you in the octagon in your next fight as opposed to when we saw you earlier this year?
There's so many things in my toolbox. You know, I've always had such a diverse toolbox with my grappling game, with my top game, bottom game, with my jiu-jitsu, my wrestling, with my stand-up, with my long range, with my inside game, my clinch. But this level is just flowing and mixing now, and everything's sharp. You know, you're not. It's kind of like when you people are gonna fight me. It's like a question mark. It's kind of like that. Getting somebody on their heel, and I'm gonna make them, you know, kind of close their eyes and try to bite down and swing on me because they don't know what I'm gonna throw at them. And if they try to guess, they're gonna be a step behind. And yeah, at this level, I'm having fun. And I'm 25 years old, and I feel like there's so much more I could do out of myself every day. Every breath of oxygen is a gift, so why not just give myself back and do what I can to further the potential that I have, you know?
How would you describe 2020 in terms of your mixed martial arts journey?
It's been the same whether I mean, coronavirus, of course, like, it's tough for a lot of people. You see a lot of businesses going out and people not making money. As well as success, there's a lot of people having success out of it. But you got to take it for what it is. And I specialize in bringing good out of bad, and I specialize in making the best out of whatever situation, whatever circumstance I get. That's the character growth and the development that and the test that I get, you know. So I feel like life is a test, and every thing that gets thrown at you is just an opportunity for me to grow. And the last couple of years has been tough, and as well as this year, so I'm just using it as a tool to strengthen my abilities, and whatever comes, I just got to make sure that I keep getting fights, you know.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Casey Kenney a little before we connected, and you know, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, because he's on this October 3rd card as well, and I said, will you stay on Fight Island just in case another opportunity arises? And he said, yeah. Are you in that same scenario of would you stay there in case another opportunity came?
That would be sick. I would live there, man. Like, I mean, if they let me, like, I don't know what the rules are and stuff, but yeah, it's my job, you know? I don't really have, I mean, I have a lot of other things going on, like the gyms and stuff like that, but I'm ready to throw my whole self at this thing, you know? And I am. There's something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but if I could stay there and fight, that would be sick, you know?
I mean, ideally, I mean, in a perfect scenario is your hope of, I get this fight October 3rd and try to squeeze one more out before the end of the calendar year?
That was my plan. So my plan is to fight again after this, if I get this fight. But sometimes, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. Things happen. People get injured, whatever. But I got to make sure, got to make something happen if it doesn't. And yeah, I'm trying to get as many as possible in there and get some more experience. Whether it takes, you know, a month or a couple of months, I got to just keep grind forward, and I have to get that fight. So somebody fight me, man.
We look forward to seeing who that person may be that's going to step up and take this fight here on October the 3rd. Kyle, man, I appreciate the time. I know you're busy getting things done here. Of course, let everyone know anything for you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, social media, KY Matrix, Kai Matrix, the business, the boss. And my YouTube channel, it's just Kyler Phillips. So I got a couple videos on there, and I'm going to keep flooding out and sending out more stuff. So check me out, Kyler Phillips on YouTube.
And there you have my conversation with Kyra Phillips. Appreciate him talking to me about what was his scheduled fight there, October 3rd, Fight Island. He's hoping that he does get a fight there on October the 3rd. As of doing the show, I've not seen anything that they do have an opponent there, but still plenty of time to get him a new opponent. As fighters, of course, we head to Fight Island coming up this coming up Saturday for UFC the pay-per-view, which at 253. For Paulo Costa and Israel Adesanya. Looking forward to that fight card coming up here next, this upcoming Saturday. And I'm actually recording this show during the UFC Fight Night card here on Saturday night. Of course, this show comes out on Sunday morning. So I do want to thank Kevin Kroom, Jalen Turner, Casey Kinney, and Kyler Phillips giving some time out to talk to me. Of course, all those interviews are in video form over at themmareport.com and the MMA Report YouTube channel. Of course, coming up on Wednesday, myself and Daniel Galvan will be back for another edition of the MMA Report podcast. We will get you ready for UFC 253. Plus, we will talk about everything that happens on the UFC Fight Night card here on Saturday night in Las Vegas. Already some controversy. And once again, Chris Tione, questionable decision there in the Jessica Rose Clark fight, that fight that should have been stopped, but Sarah Alpar probably took about 2 minutes more damage than she should have taken. So we'll talk about that coming up here on Wednesday. So that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report Interview Podcast, which you can find every Sunday on RadioInfluence.com and your favorite podcasting platform.